Before I start scripture reading today, I want to make a quick correction. We are reading from a different book in the Bible. So instead of Lamentations chapter 3 verses 21 through 23, we're going to turn over to Galatians chapter 5 verses 16 through 22. Okay? So it reads as follows, walking in the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And may God add a blessing to the reading of the word.
Amen. Morning, brethren.
Morning.
It's good to be here, amen. We ask God's presence at all time, in all places, even though he already is. About, and that is going to be from Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit, which I hope today to enlighten you concerning a number of things. Concerning faithfulness, being faithful, and what the Spirit is doing within us. Amen?
Amen.
Without God's Spirit, as we're going to see, we have no hope. We're lost. But God is faithful, and we're going to key on that word faithful and faithfulness and faith, because without these qualities, you cannot please God. Even as you, as she read concerning the works of the flesh, will destroy us. And we do realize that sometimes we succumb to the works of the flesh, and it means us no good, because the God of this world means you no good. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I want to ask you a question. What is the difference between faith and faithfulness? What's the difference between faith and faithfulness? Now, we need to know this. Well, why do we go on here? Faith and faithfulness. I know you turn to Hebrews and talk about, you know, what it says in there, faith without works is dead. But go back to your old English class, if you can, some of you can remember that far back. What is faith? You know, in grammar, what is faith? Faith is a what? Faith is a noun, am I correct? What is faithfulness? Faithfulness then is an adjective, and what do adjectives do to nouns? They, right? They qualify. They explain what's talking about. The size, you know, and what's happening, the action. A verb is the action. But faithfulness. And so we'll be talking about that and see how the two work together and where they all come from. Well, we know faith comes from God. And I want to show you some examples today, and hopefully you will come away from here, even as the psalmist said. You're not going to leave here as you came. God is going to broaden your understanding of who he is and his faithfulness. Amen? Faithfulness, when understood, equals your promise to others. Like, you can't trust that person. He's an unfaithful character. You know it. You just can't trust him. So faithfulness is your promise to others. It's your honesty, your fidelity, and your dependability. Now, that's the adjective that describing faith. In a sense. But we're going to see. I'm going to break it down a little better and give you some scriptural examples that you really can use to understand it, so we can really get a handle on what faithfulness is. Amen? The Spirit will cultivate in the disciples, as Christ was pointing out to them, and disciples of Christ, and don't forget, you are disciples of Christ. These particular attributes, it will cultivate in you, his servants. And we're going to see some of this as we go through. I thank God for bringing to mind some of the things that he have enabled me to prepare, because some of it I like I've said before, I've gone over God's word many times, but the Holy Spirit, and that is God continues to give you understanding as you grow. And you know what the growth process is. You've seen it. You're growing. God continues to open your mind. Remember he told the disciples? Remember this. He said, look, I have much more that I can tell you, but you can't bear it now. That's what he said. You can't bear it now. You've got to grow in this process. And I'll give you the comforter. I will send you the comforter, and it will aid you. It will assist you. It will bring to your mind the things that you need to know and that you need to understand. Faith and faithfulness. Now, about to get my technology available now. If I can understand this thing. Oh yeah, here we go. Faithfulness. Galatians. Matter of fact, she read that. I'm not going to be going through that as much, but I want to go back to Hebrews 11. I'll get it in a minute. Oh, yeah. Here we are. I know what it says, but I want you to see it. Faith is the confidence. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. And assurance about what we do not see. Did you get that? Faith is the confidence. It's what you have before you receive what you hope for. That's what faith is. This is what the ancients were commended for. The ancients, for having faith. That's what they were commended for, and this is what we too should be commended for. Now, if you didn't get that, let's try another one. Now, the difference I'm talking about, faith and faithfulness. Matthew 25, 1-2. Now, remember this. I know, see, these are things that you go through, but when you really come to understand how it works, you remember the talents that Christ, the master, as it says in the scripture, gave to his servants. I think it was one with ten, or well, with five rather, and one with three and one with one. And the one with five did what? The one with five doubled his to ten. The one that had the either two, three or so, he doubled his. But the guy with one did nothing. But now, apply that to you. I'll apply that to me. What happened when the master returns? And we're in that situation right now. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Key word here. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the master's happiness. You got to be faithful, people. You see what happens here? Faith and faithfulness. Now, again, I said, what's the difference between faith and faithfulness? And believe it or not, faith is that which you hope for. I've mentioned that already. Faith is what you hope for. Faith delivers what you hope for. Faithfulness gives you the reward. Did you get that? Faith delivers what you hope for in faith, and faithfulness by being faithful, the servants, being trustworthy, dependable, they receive the reward. Is that what you're looking for? Are we waiting for him to, for the master to return to receive a reward that he has for us? He has given us an illustration and an example. The difference between faith and faithfulness. Faith and faithfulness. Reliability. Dependability. Trustworthiness. Can God trust you? Can he trust you? And what does the scripture say about you? Trust no man. Trust no man. Can God trust you? Are you faithful? Are you a faithful steward? Are you a faithful servant unto our God? Faithfulness is the thing that we look for. I remember Promise Keepers a few years back, probably been about 10, 15, well, more than 10, maybe 15, maybe 20. I'm getting old. Promise Keepers, when they came here to Chicago, and some of the songs that they have on tape. And one of the songs, and it comes to mind from time to time, it says called Faithfulness. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness. Take my heart. And conform it to yours. Shape it, Lord God. Faithfulness is what you want from me. And faithfulness is what God wants from us. Amen? Faithfulness. Faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness is what you want from me. Take my heart and change it. Take my will and conform it to yours. Faithfulness, being faithful. Faithful as only God is faithful, and he will be faithful. And we sang a song, faithful to the end. Faithfulness. Now, faithfulness. When we come to marriage, the husband and the wife. Now, what are we? Would we really trust our mates? Do we really trust our mates? We do want them to be what? Faithful. We can depend upon them. Dependability. We want them to be faithful. Yes. Now, I have a good illustration, a good example, and I've used this one time before. I don't want to use it again because it's such a good example. And that's Mr. and Mrs. Hill. Mr. Hill told me, you know, he repairs washing machines and stoves and all of that in his youthful days when he was younger, but now his knees give him trouble. But now I want you to understand this. We're talking about faithfulness. Our God is faithful, and we are admonished to be faithful. We just saw what the master did to his servants, and we are his servants. You all have a gift that he has given you, and you are to use that gift. You are to have faith in him, and through that faith then will deliver you what you desire. Now, I recall this time talking to Mr. Hill. It was kind of comical. Mr. Hill was working on the latest washing machine, and he fixed the washing machine. It was kind of late in the evening. So the lady had went on. She went and she prepared some food and everything. And so when Mr. Hill finished, he says, "Well, will you have a meal? Come on, sit down." He says, "Oh, yeah." So he goes, he cleans up, and he goes in, and he sits down, and he has this meal with this woman. Okay, and then later on, he goes home. The wife says, "Well, after sitting around a while, come on, dinner's ready." Mr. Hill said, "Oh, no, I've already eaten at a buffet." What? Where in the world did you already eaten? Well, so and so. So the next day, I just have to commend Mrs. Hill. You know, the Spirit of God works, and we really don't know it sometimes. The next day, it was time for dinner. Everything was set, and Mr. Hill was sitting there. He ready to eat now. Say, he see nothing being put on the table. He said, "Wife, where, where's dinner? She said, you go back and eat where you ate yesterday. Now, you know God had to be in the picture with that. You give her an answer like, you go back and eat where you ate yesterday. Now, I want to tell you something. Guess what? I don't know how long they had been married then, but I do know how long they have been married today. 65 years. Now, we're talking about faithfulness. And we're talking about the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us and showing us the way. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now, if he learned a lesson, when he learned a lesson, and hopefully for you young people, that'll be a lesson for you too. Amen?
Amen.
God is there for you. He promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. I thought that was a good story. When I heard it, I fell out, and it's still good. And you see, we can share that with you. Some people may be having some difficulties, but realize that God is there for you. And God will bring you through it, as we're going to see as we continue on with this message, because we find that faithfulness is definitely the thing that we need. Nothing can destroy a marriage or a relationship like what? Infidelity.
Amen.
Like infidelity. Now, men, I tell you, women is one up on us. If they read the Bible, I mentioned it already. It says in there, trust no man. Women, did you get that? It said, trust no man. Now, if you miss that, that's your fault. God put it there for us. Trust no man. And I read that. I just had to put that. I said, now, women, get an advantage here. They've already been told by the Supreme God that they shouldn't be trust. Put their trust. And we understand what it's talking about. Putting your trust in man, because we are all human beings, and we're subject, when we started reading in Galatians, that the flesh is what? The flesh lusts against the spirit. Now, I'd say against the spirit, is adverse to the spirit, and the spirit to the flesh, definitely. So we should be careful, and we should allow God to lead us, and we look into his word, and definitely it will tell you, you know, what you should expect. You put your trust and all your hope and your confidence in this man. So thank God for that. And trust no man. Now, you will find that. I think I may have that on here. Matthew, no, we don't want to get there yet. You got to bear with me with this. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. You got that? It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. All right. Now, we serve a most wonderful and powerful God. And what I have learned in songs, the choir sang songs this morning. And truly, I learned so many things, you see. Choir, music, and all is also the gospel. You listen to some of the words in there. The Spirit inspired it. How great is our God? There is none greater than our God. If not for your grace. If it wasn't for grace, where would we be? Where would we be if it was not, if it's not for the grace of God? We serve a faithful God, amen.
Amen.
There is no God, now I know the praise team will get me on this one. At least they'll support me, I hope. There is no God like our God. Our God is what? Greater. Our God is what? Stronger. Our God is higher than any other. Our God is healer. Our God is awesome in power. That is our God. Amen?
Amen.
That's our God. And so when you hear some of these songs, take note of what is being said and how the Spirit leads the choir, the praise team. And as those songs come out, remember, they are for you. There's a lesson in there. The Spirit is still nourishing you and feeding you. Hear the words. Comply and conform to those words. David did not create in the ministry, a tabernacle music for nothing, all those psalms. You read those psalms and you will see. So music is part of worship. ministry. Amen? And so I sometimes think, you know, the choir, we're being trained for that heavenly choir. You look at it from that perspective. As you're being trained for that heavenly choir, then you better get on the ball. You've got to get on the ball. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, Jesus, and then the other one, Jesus is at the what? Center of it all. Jesus is at the center of it all. Now, we trust in Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you an example here that I hope you will pay special attention to. Please, bear with me, because this, I think, is one of the paramount examples of what I'm talking about today, and hopefully, I know the Spirit will lead you, that you will understand it. It's Matthew 14, 22 through 23. Now, let me preface that by saying, what has happened here is that after the feeding of the 5,000 by the two loaves and loaves and the fish, we see what Christ does. And I want you to follow this example, because there is something in there that you're going to be amazed at, but it also is for you. It is for us, his children, to understand who he is, where he is, why he is, and that he's there for us. Amen?
Amen.
Immediately after the feeding of the 5,000, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. They're in the boat. They're going on to the other side while he dismisses the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to do what? He went up there alone to pray. Get it? Christ, God, went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Now it's in the night. He is there alone. Disciples in the boat, they're out on a lake. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Follow that picture in the progression here. Shortly before dawn, now it was evening when they got in the boat. Shortly before dawn, how long they've been out there? Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. It's a ghost. And cried out in fear. Well, if it was a ghost, he would cry out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't you be afraid." Now remember that. It is I. Don't you be afraid. You can't be afraid of our Lord. Don't be afraid. Where's the faith? Put it together. "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, Tell me. Say the word. Tell me to come to you on the water." Faith and faithfulness. Remember that. "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Man, can you imagine that? How he had faith. He had faith. He walked. All right. But, why do you have to put that "but"? Now you know something's coming after "but." "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" Why didn't he get out and he walked? He had faith. Okay. And guess what? He's walking toward one who is all faithful. Bang. "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Get that. And caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Do we have some doubters in here? At times when the going gets rough, when the waves are all around you and trying to cover you, you begin to doubt. Yes. Okay. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. The wind died down. Yes, it did. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, what do you see there that you haven't seen? And you probably looked over it in the scriptures. They worshiped him. Do you find any other place in the scripture where it says that they worshiped him? Get it? They worshiped him. Worship God, and him only shall you serve. They've been with him all that time, and they didn't know until this moment that this, truly, you are the Son of God. They know. The sea was calm. The storm is gone. Peter walked on the water until he began to doubt. He lost his faith. But the one who is faithful saved him. And the one who is faithful will save you. He has promised, and he will never go back on his word. Amen? Now, what does that tell you? That wonderful example is this. I want you to bear with me now, because this is very important. Remember when they got in the boat? It was in the afternoon, and everything was calm. It was calm, calm. That was put there for you to really capture it. When you started your physical, your spiritual journey, when he called you, you didn't have all the trepidation and the problems that you had, right? Everything must seem to have been peaceful, you know. It was good. It was good. Well, what happened? Along the journey of life, what happened along this journey of life? How do we act when things get rough, when the going gets tough? When the going gets tough, how then do we act? As I said, this was the first time the disciples worshiped him. And I said, I want you to pay particular attention to this, because this is where we are, and a lesson in here for us to learn. And that storm arose, and that storm is pictured as being the life of us that we have when we face storms. What is Jesus showing me? He is showing us life's journey. He is showing us life's journey. Our way may be calm when we begin our journey. However, we will encounter storms along the way. Yes. As the old saying, the boys in the hood have said, now, do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Don't you? You're going to incur storms along the way. All right. Who is there that will calm the storms of your life? None other than Jesus Christ. No one except our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where was he? Now, here's another example in here. Christ prayed. He knew what was going on out there. Here is your Savior praying. What did that tell you? He's calling out to his Father, and you are to do what? The same. Now, some of them saw war room. Somebody in here saw war room. Oh, I see. Oh, yes. What was the war room? It was a prayer place for the people. That should be your war room. When you go to God and you pray, when you are beset with circumstances out of your control, as that storm was out of the control of the disciples and they could do nothing, but Christ has prayed and he came to their rescue, and we say concerning our God, he may not call when you want him, but he is always on time, and he was right there on time, and that boat didn't capsize. He calmed the storm and he lifted them up out of that trepidation, did he not? And he will do the same for you, because you're on your journey and he is there for you at all times. But you have to call on him too. Do you understand that? So that example I don't know if you have seen it that way before, but that is what it's there for, to help us. Christ was on the mountaintop. And do you know what time it was according to the scriptures? In the fourth watch. And the fourth watch is what time? I think the fourth watch is 3 a.m. in the morning. 3 a.m. in the morning. Now, they got out there at sunset. Remember, it was evening. He sent the people away. So he stayed up there and he prayed. How long did he pray? Wow. But he knew they were in trouble, though. And he knows when we are in trouble. And he came at the right time. And he saved them. Did he not? And so that tells you, I know where you are. I know what is going on around you. I am here to rescue you. No matter where I am, you call on me and I will answer. You call on me and I will deliver you, because I'm what? I am your deliverer. Amen. And I tell you, sign, is Jesus the center of your life? Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, because it's always been, Jesus at the center of it all. Another song, you see? Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of it all. Lamentation. Lamentations 3:21-23. And I say, Jesus at the center of it all. Yet this, verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Lamentation. Who said lamentation? Who wrote it? Jeremiah, did he not? Jeremiah. Because of the Lord's great love, all this happens and happening because he does what? He loves us. He gave his life for us. That we should not, what? Perish, but that we should be saved. We can't overcome on our own. He is there to help us and to assist us. We've just seen that example, that we need to call on him, though. Yes, even as he gave us the illustration. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. You get that? His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. There is no God, what we said, like our God. Our God is greater. Our God is higher. Our God is healer. Our God is awesome, and he will save us. Amen? Amen. You better believe he will. He didn't die on the cross for nothing. He died for the sins of the world. He didn't commit any sin. He did not. Lord God Almighty, thank you for your goodness, your blessings, and your love. Not yelled and screamed, now it's coming to an end. I want you to understand that. But before I sit down, I have something that I want to read to you. It's a poem. It's a poem, God's Faithfulness Through Me. God's faithfulness through me. God's faithfulness through you. Don't forget, you are representatives of God. Are you not? You are supposed to be. You are to be what? The light of the world. You are supposed to be the salt of the earth. That's what you're supposed to be. Don't forget that. God's faithfulness through me. The difference between faith and faithfulness. Faith is what we must have. It's what we hope for. Yes. Faithfulness, we have to get out and do something. We got to pray. We have to do these things. Now, we can't gain the kingdom by works. Don't even go there. But God expects you to do something. Expect those servants of his to do something, right? With what he gave them and what he's given you, he expects you to do something. All right. God's faithfulness through me. His faithfulness I don't deserve, as it is God whom I serve. Being saved from a life of sin, he leads by his Spirit within, the Holy Spirit given. He leads by his Spirit within. Amen. In many ways that I never knew, and all praise to him is due, as all God's faithfulness to me, as all God's faithfulness to me helps me to be all I can be. God's faithfulness helps me to be, because you can depend on God. He will never fail. And I like what he said. He says, see, there is none like me. There is none like our God. Amen? All right. All God's faithfulness to me helps me to be all I can be. God cannot be unfaithful, friend. He cannot be unfaithful. His faithfulness has what? No end. While he cannot deny himself, he fills me with untold wealth. God's divine wealth in my heart as the Spirit, and the Spirit will not depart. You got that. Abiding with me every place, he fills me with what? You know what it's going to say. Amazing grace. Right. And my God working through me in ways I never see. Yes, he is. As God's work out all his ways through me and all my days. Every day, God is there for you, working with you. Leaning upon my fleshly will, his ways alone I cannot fill. Through our fleshly will, we cannot fill his ways, but he's there for us to support us. But it's God guiding me, friend, and all my life at every bend. Out on the sea, on the storm, he's there. His faithfulness I don't deserve, as it is God whom I serve. Being saved from a life of sin, he leads me by his Spirit within in many ways that I never knew, and all praise to him is due. Amen. As all God's faithfulness to me help me to be all I can be. God's faithfulness helps you to be all you can be. God cannot be unfaithful, friend. His faithfulness has no end. While he cannot deny himself, he fills me with untold wealth. God's divine wealth in my heart, as his Spirit will not depart. Abiding with me every place, he fills me with amazing grace. God's faithfulness gives to us, all who come to Jesus Christ, the blessed and abundant life. He gives to us a blessed and abundant life, all who come to Jesus Christ. While we live for Jesus Christ, his faithfulness has just begun. Think about it. His faithfulness has just begun. As we start to serve his Son, as his faithfulness to you and me extends well into eternity. That is what it's about. God wants you to be with him for all eternity. Amen. Our God is faithful. Our God is mighty. Our God cannot fail. He can do anything but fail. So on life's journey, as we saw, as the disciples out in the midst of the sea, no matter what storm may assail you, put your trust, as Jesus Christ would say, in me. Put your trust in him, and he will deliver you. He will set you free. Amen. Trust in God. He is faithful, faithful to the end. Amen. Thank you. Right now, what we have is prayer. I want to thank God for what he has done. Almighty Creator and loving Father, I praise you, Father. You are my God, my life, my strength, my source, Almighty God, of all that I am. It comes from you, great God. And I praise you, Father, and thank you for the message today, even as you open my understanding to see things that I haven't seen before. But, Father, we know that you're there for us. And, Father, you promised you'd never leave us. And, Father, you are there at all times when we even probably don't think so. But your eyes are always upon your children. And so, Father, we just thank you and we pray now that you will be with us all, thanking you for your goodness, your mercy, and your love, and for your Son, Jesus Christ, asking all things in the name of and by the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.